Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Indeed it is. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Coming up here in just a few, our good friend Peter Carlin from the Oregonian is going to join us. Let's see. Later on, Therese, who apparently is all that, will be with us later. We're also going to talk to Emily Copeland here in just a few minutes. See what I hang tight for that. This is David. He's a full-time listener and happy rock. Big D, what do you got?
Well, first of all, bye, Christina. You were great on the show. I just loved the style and the fun with which you put me on hold for the best part of an hour. But, Rick, I'm kind of surprised that you're surprised that Christina's acting like a woman.
Yeah, well,
I
live in a constant state of denial. What can you say?
Well, you know, and women tear your heart out and take a great, huge, juicy bite out of it.
But it's true. And the truth about being a guy is, we were talking about the five stages of grief. Guys are always stuck in stage two, which is denial. In fact, guys only really have two stages. They vacillate between denial and anger. And so for like a year, she's been telling me, no, I'm going to be leaving. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like, all evidence to the contrary. I mean, John was like, he went to Bend for the job interview. And I was still in denial about, no, he doesn't really want a job in Bend. He's not really in Bend interviewing. Christina's like, no, he's there right now in the office interview. No, he's not. You know, I just wouldn't accept it. And then, of course, you know, and then of course I was immediately all pissed off. How dare you try to better your life in a way that doesn't revolve around me?
But there are a couple upsides.
Which are?
Like Sarah Dillon. She was jockeying for the position last time.
Yeah, Sarah was doing everything but kicking Christina down some stairs, Elizabeth Berkeley showgirl style.
Yeah, give her a call. And also,
this
gives you another great chance to start a Christina and John watch.
Yeah.
Give him a call and find out how the wedded this is going.
John doesn't have any, peculiar lumps or itches, though, does he?
Not that I know of.
Does he have any strange headaches or any dizziness or anything?
No.
Okay, well, that's too bad.
Well, damn, dude, that was a waste of money.
Yeah, I was going to say, and all that work we went to trying to give him Ebola didn't work out. But you're right, we could totally, we could totally do, Christina, don't listen to this, we could totally do a pool on, like, how long the whole thing is going to last once they go to Bend. Because you and I both know, that's just, that's one big Lusitania just waiting to happen. All right, that's David and Happy Rock. We love you, Christina.
I know you do.
All right. 1-800-727-5955. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Sleep Country USA. Don't spend another night on some old, uncomfortable bed. Come to Sleep Country and get any size brand-name mattress for just $99 each piece when you buy the complete set. Call 1-888-88-SLEEP. Well, if you build it, they will come. This time-tested belief doesn't pertain to the Fred Meyer store at 182nd and Southeast Stark. Even after being remodeled on numerous occasions since 1957, customers have stayed away from this store in droves, necessitating its closure. Rob Boley, the manager, says it's just time to give up.
We've invested in the store. We've got a great store. We've got great employees, and yet sales and earnings continue to slide. So we just felt we'd done as much as we could. We just had to make a difficult decision.
This patron is disappointed.
I just expressing my sorrow. I'm sorry to see that it's under closure, and I really miss it.
Yep, you'll have to go elsewhere. That's the Freddy's at 182nd and Southeast start closing its doors forever January 18th.
Well, and as somebody noted, as some listener of ours pointed out, that really life, you know, John Lennon said life is what happens while you're making other plans. Really, life is just what happens between trips to Fred Meyer. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You live in the Northwest. What is your life? One series of excursions to a Fred Meyer for one reason or another, and it's just the, life is just the spackle between those, no, not spackle, grout. It's the grout or caulk, depending on how you look at it, between the tiles of... This
grout's
is a really
grout's
dumb,
really between the tiles.
This is a dumb... Well, what's caulk, then?
Caulking is like... It goes, like, around the edge of your shower door. It's the silk. That type of stuff is caulking.
Right,
grout's
right.
Actually like a mud that
even
goes in
I
between
know
the
that.
Tiles.
Okay, you see, now she starts getting all uppity. Now she... Suddenly you know everything.
Why is it I think she's going to be feisty for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult to deal with. And I can't, Lord, I can't, like, hang a firing over her either. I'll fire you and send you to Bend. That's going to carry a little less weight now. Here's Tim Riley continuing.
A Texas woman who sells sex toys has been charged with felony obscenity after police found some of her wares in a car during a traffic stop. Kathleen Elizabeth Kathy Grubbs is a distributor for the national company called Slumber Party. She could get 2 years in jail after they found lotions and objects defined in a dictionary as having the shape of male genitalia used in sexual stimulation.
Yeah, that's called a dildo.
Slumber Parties is where Tupperware meets Victoria's Secret, the company says on its website. Texas law, what does it say? Well, Texas statute says an obscene device is a simulated sexual organ or any item designed and marketed for primary use for the stimulation of human genital organs. That's illegal in Texas.
Aren't you glad you don't live in the South? Could there be any worse existence than living in such a place? A place where plastic penises are illegal. What kind of country do we live in?
Well, Slumber Parties claims its network of distributors sold $15 million in romance-enriching products.
Romance-enriching products. That's exactly what I think of every time I think of a vibrator. I think of a romance-enriching product. And I always like the, you know, that's exactly, and I'm sure that every guy feels that way too. What was that old, that old Kinnison riff about, you know, yeah, on your way out of your, on the way out of the bedroom, Bob, you want to plug this in? So, anyway.
Sales so far this year, 20 million.
20 million. It's a good thing I don't feel insecure as a man. What's this? Well, it's 15 inches long and black and it's permanently rigid. Yeah, all right.
From Nebraska comes where two people have been injured when somebody dropped bowling balls off an overpass early today.
Jesus God.
One ball struck a tractor trailer, the other broke through the windshield of a van. The Nebraska State Police says it's not life-threatening. That doesn't mean to go out and do it.
But bowling balls. Like
bowling balls,
you suppose a bowling ball bounces when it hits concrete after being dropped off an overpass? That's almost enough to make me want to go do it.
Don't do it.
I almost want to. They have this thing they do in Cheney, Washington, where all the exciting things happen. At Eastern Washington University, they have this thing they do once a year where they'll drop stuff off the dorms. There's a place called Dressler Hall. It's a big trash can-shaped dormitory. They got this thing they do every spring where you can bring them anything that's, like, not alive, basically. And they cordon off, like, this 100-square-yard area, and they just start dropping stuff off the top of Dressler Hall. Bowling ball, television, you know, dead grandmother, whatever it is. You bring it, drop it right off, you know? And that's what... I forget what I was talking about. Bowling balls.
Yeah, bowling balls.
Well, I've got nothing. Okay.
Well, the Portland Metro forecast this afternoon absurdly calls for partly sunny skies.
I could use some of your Vicodin.
You may need some.
How much would you go up for 50s?
How much would your Vicodin Street 40, you suppose?
Fog
how
tonight. Many? Sunny tomorrow. Here we're in the KOTK newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by a bunch of computers over the $200 laptop.
Jesus. Peace, and I'm out. All right. How much do you suppose, how many Vicodin do you have in that bottle?
Less than 30 now, but it started out at 30.
How much do you suppose you could sell that for? Not that we would encourage that.
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking I ought to be able to get at least $4 or $5 a pill for it.
All right. Well, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Who's coming to the studio now. This is Emily Copeland, who could probably beat my ass. It's just a given. Emily Copeland, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. So you're... Now, I have to profess ignorance because I'm just a dumb guy. And so I came in this morning and Matt's like, dude, we've got Emily Copeland on today. And I'm like, well, that's really great. I don't know what you're talking about. And so you are, is it extreme? See, I'm going to sound old again here. It's not extreme sporter or what do they call you crazy kids who do the X things?
Well, I mean, I'm a professional wakeboarder, so this is part of the X Games, so I guess it could be called an extreme sport.
What do your parents think? When you told your parents you were going to be a professional wakeboarder, that's kind of like saying you're going to be one of those guys who spins plates on Circus of the Stars, but you're going to like do it for a living.
Well, they were actually really supportive because they're the ones that had to buy me a boat for the first time and buy me a wakeboard, so...
What is this with parents buying? Your ass got a BMW when you were 16. Christina had a $40,000 Steinway. Your parents bought you a boat.
Yeah.
Well, our parents loved us more than your parents loved you. What can we say?
My parents loved me in their own abusive belt on the back of the body fashion. You know what I got when I was... I got like a set of TV trays. That's what I got when I was 16. Here you go. Here's There you go. Here's a black and white
television.
Well,
see, they were helping you on your way in your career because you watched a lot of TV, learned a lot of pop culture knowledge. Now you're a radio host.
I'll try to placate this. All right.
Okay, I'm
so
trying to help.
Now, I got a thing. Now, you're from, are you from Denver?
Yes.
You're from Denver, Colorado. You're 18?
Mm-hmm.
You are already so far ahead of me on like the life curve. You've been doing this for four pro seasons. So you started being a professional wakeboarder at 14?
Actually, it was about 13.
What is wrong? What planet do you come from? How would that even occur to you? When I was 14, I was just alone in my room with like a Sears catalog and a bunch of towels and just not even, I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. You're in Denver. How in Denver would you ever get the idea to be a wakeboarder?
It was crazy. I just tried it and it kind of came from snowboarding and I just picked it up and started competing amateur. And like after my first season, I pretty much won everything amateur. And I don't know, I went pro the next year. It was just like totally not expected at all.
Yeah, that's completely bizarre. You kind of look, I mean, this is the thing. It's, so you're talented and undoubtedly richer than I am, and you're cute, so you look like Laura Dern. I don't know if you ever get told that.
No, Laura Dern? No.
Jeez, I'm so old.
You really are kind of old, but now that you say that, she really does kind of look like
Laura
Dern.
What year were you born, Emily?
84.
Good. All right, I'm past it. I went through all five stages of grief there, real quickly. It's like 3 seconds. So you've done this, 13 and a half. You said you were 2001 world champion, 2001 Pro Tour overall champion, 2001 Vans Triple Crown champion, 2002 X Games champion, 2002 Gravity Games champion. What are you? You're not human. 2002 World Cup champion, 2002 Masters champion. What are you, like, what was curing polio? That was already taken? So you gotta, it's insane. Do you wakeboard around, where is the wakeboard around here?
Well, I was living in Florida for about 2 years, and then I had to go back to Colorado. I went back in May and just have been wakeboarding there all summer. So, I don't know. It pretty much depends, like, wherever it's warm, I can wakeboard.
Yeah. It's warm at my house, you know. It's.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's really not. Are guys intimidated by you? Because you're hot and could probably kick their ass at most sports?
I find it's a little bit hard to find somebody to date.
You've got, like, muscular arms, so it's not like you're not, like, ripped or something, but even just looking at you now, I can tell that you could probably drop me one punch. God, my life sucks. All right. Well, anyway, so you are going to be at the Active Water Sports Show.
Yes.
Tonight, along with, people who are less interesting to me because they're men. Wade Cox, Sean Watson. I don't know who any of these people are. It's all about you. You're the only, I'm going to become an extreme sports fan now. I've just decided.
Aww.
It's going to be my new hobby.
Nice.
And so that's going to be tonight starting at 7 p.m. And it's at 1224 Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard, two blocks south of I-205. And so they can't come see you do this here, right? Because it's Oregon.
I'm not going to be wakeboarding, but it's going to kind of just be
just like on ESPN
out.
2 or something that I show this stuff?
Yeah, they have it on ESPN, ESPN 2, NBC.
Have you ever just been sitting there at night and you're flipping by the channels like there you are?
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird.
It's completely bizarre. All right, Emily Copeland, so you can see her tonight at 1224 Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard, two blocks out of I-205 at the Active Water Sports Show, and it's at 7 p.m. So, excellent. Well, continued success. And
thank you.
I'm just a big... just a big loser. That's what I feel like now. All right. Thank you very much. All right. We got more on the way. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk to Tim, Kristen from accounting, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian going to be joining us as well. And I think Therese is going to be in with us later, too. All right. I bet Emily could do the traffic well if she wanted to. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's Hot Talk to Nettie Cave today.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Christina Carlson with the traffic. Okay, it's not the 6th yet.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Is this like a warm-up? Is she on deck for when she's going
to
be gone?
Yeah, she's practicing for not actually having to do traffic anymore.
She's a method actress?
She's a method right. actress. She's...
Well, here's the thing. If you're anywhere near Idaho, there's going to be a bunch of genetic defectives. They're easy to identify because of their red, white, and blue plates and the fact that they're always going 20 miles underneath the speed limit. Elsewhere, there's going to be small Korean women who are hunched over. They have to look through the steering wheel because they're really short. And there's going to be a lot of dumb girls named Tiffany driving red convertibles.
And there are bowling balls falling from overpasses in Nebraska.
At all costs, stay away from them. Is it sponsored by anybody?
It really is. This is actually sponsored by Trader Joe's, where you'll find unique foods from all over the world at prices everyone can afford.
Yeah.
1-800-SHOP-TJ's for the location nearest you. That's Trader Joe's.
I feel like I've just gone to sleep and, you know, like I woke up 2 weeks from now. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
That's your commuter update on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Rick, I tried to help. I tried to help you keep Christina here, this email says. Remember back when you were trying to find John a job? I do remember that day. I remember it like it was yesterday, the day that I selflessly sacrificed an hour of this program trying to help my fellow man, which is what Jesus told us to do. I emailed you and told you I would employ John's ass. The offer is... Oh, but this is from the gay guy. Employ John's ass. I get it. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. We're going to, in just a moment, welcome Peter Carlin to the Rick Emerson Show. Let's quickly grab Tim. He's a full-time listener in Burlingame. What's up, man? What do you got?
Where am I from, Rick?
What's that?
Where am I from, son?
Is it Burlingame? Burlingame?
That is it.
Burlingame.
I will take... The disclosed the Burlingame lives in, and I will take that veil of ambiguity and I will create an identity from it. I am Tim from Burlingame.
See, you're taking it back. You're empowering yourself.
I hate. Yeah. I just hate. Anyway, Fred Meyer and the sexy new image, I kid you not, they're trying to, you know, amp themselves up, and they're changing all their stores to try and compete with Walmart. I S you not, I was in a Fred Meyer over on Johnson Creek probably 2 or 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and they're having... They're having a runway modeling show.
At Fred Meyer.
Now, that's not it. It was almost like looking at an Iron Maiden album where you've got that huge, big Eddie thing, you know, and then a bunch of little people underneath it. The backdrop for this talent or model show, whatever they were doing, was a big painting, lithograph thing of Fred G. Meyer. It's horrific.
It's like you see those Soviet pictures where there's just a huge leering picture of Stalin just towering over the parade.
Over the crowd, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right, there you go. There's Tim in Burlingame. He's taking it back. He's creating his own existence. He's becoming existential about it there. All right, we're going to get to Phil in a moment. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend and colleague. With a heart full of hate, a head full of snakes, it's Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian. What's up with you, man?
Nothing. What about you?
Literally nothing?
Literally, I'm just sitting here. I'm just like a null set.
Let me ask you this. Out of like, I mean, do you have to, you don't, like a 9-to-5 thing, right? You don't have to be in the office 8 hours a day, do you?
More or less. I don't know. They do sort of encourage attendance.
But I mean, what? Let me ask you this. What, over the course of a week,
yeah.
let's take it back. Let's scale it up a bit. Over the course of a month,
yeah.
Is it like a set number of articles you have to write a month, or is it a set number of like page columns you have to fill? What? How do you determine how much you write every month?
I'm just trying to not get my ass fired. That's what it comes down to.
You and me both, friend.
Yeah, yeah. I just do whatever they ask me to do, and all then right. A little bit more, and then I clean up on the weekends.
So you just sort of show up and just sort of hang out. Do you play a lot of Minesweeper like everybody in this office does?
I just play, the computer games, you know, you can't really do it here because it's open and everyone can see what's going on.
Yeah.
So you really sort of need to maintain that veil of busyness.
Yeah, there's sort of a guise that you're actually getting something accomplished.
A guise, yeah.
Exactly what
it's
it is.
A facade.
I speculate, I mean, I can't even begin to imagine how many man hours every year are lost to playing solitaire. And it's just an unbelievable amount.
To me, it's not that. It's email.
Email.
And web browsing.
Email and net. See, I'm of the opinion that employers should encourage that, though, because you always hear about these. Like, I kid you not, there was a woman emailed me a while ago. I don't know what company she works for, but she used to work in, like, some cubicle and listen to my show during the day. And the company sent out this edict that all the employees, all the cube dwellers, were having their speakers taken away.
Oh, dear.
And so for, like, no readily apparent reason, like, it wasn't, I don't think there was any evidence that anybody had been listening to porn loudly on the computer or something.
You know what she needs is headphones. Why didn't she just have the headphones that I have?
No, I think they just decided that people were having too much fun, that the job wasn't quite soul-rending enough.
Yeah.
And so they just decided to come and take everybody's speakers away. So anyway,
that's the man for you.
It is the man. Damn
man
that
is
man.
Always holding us down.
Completely. Speaking of the man, oh, you probably don't know this yet. So Christina's leaving the show.
I heard. I mean, yeah. I just sort of grokked that from what you just said.
Yeah.
Where the heck is she going?
It's going to, why don't you tell Peter where you're going, Christina?
We are moving to Bend, Oregon.
Whoa.
That's exactly my response. The Simpsons are going to Bend.
Exactly.
The name Bend, it just screams excitement, doesn't it?
Yeah, it screams Orvis to me.
It's kind of like saying you're going to Delaware.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's a big down. So we're all feeling all sullen and besmirched about that.
Yeah. Well, it's a sad thing.
Yeah. But we've got the light. We've got the sunbeam that is Peter Carlin.
You know what it was, though? I met her once, and that was it. She was gone.
She just couldn't.
She was like, when she saw me in the flesh, it was like, oh, God, why do I work here?
Yeah, she couldn't stand the thought of
it. Yeah, that was it. She said, we got to get out of this town. I don't care where we're going.
Anyway. Hey, just before we go on about that, so you had there was a great piece that you had this week about the AT&T cable.
Oh, yeah.
And about just these bizarre channels and television shows. I guess you can only get on the digital cable.
That's true.
It's like there's tech TV and there's the there's all of these weird like niche channels.
Yeah, the
now.
Kitten Network.
But it's like stuff that I mean, you think that the game show network is like a niche programming? But there's all these shows. It's just like, what's this? Well, it's the men who like pink formica, channel or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Or
yeah. And then there's the game network. It's where people who just are into video games,
yeah.
and computer games. They used to have call-in shows.
I mean, it's no wonder that the network are just, they're circling the drain, man. It's because eventually, like in the future, there will be, in 10 years, there's literally going to be a television network for everyone on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And we will no longer be held hostage by the networks. I just saw that, I'm seeing the ABC is doing this show called Am I Hot? Have you seen this?
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, at what point did we reach a rock bottom on this? You know what I mean? And the show is just called Am I Hot? And is it the whole show where ABC is going to try to find the hottest person in America?
Yeah, how do you, which strikes me as such a subjective thing. It ends up being like one of those bachelorette-type girls that shows up who looks like they're completely rendered from plastic.
Exactly.
Some sort of and it's sort of, and like for whatever reason that reads in the widescreen as sexy. But then you think like, I'm in the same room with her, I'm like touching her, then it's like, oh my God, get me out of here.
Right. Well, it's like the Victoria's Secret special.
Yeah.
Which I guess just bombed like bigger than life in the ratings as compared to what it did last time anyway.
Oh yeah.
I did really badly, and I think Phil Henry of all people nailed this exactly, which is we've now reached this point and the networks are just living in such another era. The networks don't get that there's like porn 30 seconds away from anywhere.
Yeah, click away.
I don't need to watch a Victoria's Secret special. I want to see some chick showing off her cakes. I got the internet. It's like it's 10 feet away from my couch.
Yeah, but it's still not a bad thing to see on network television.
But why would you watch? What possible reason is there for watching the Victoria's Secret special for you, Matt?
What else are you going to watch? Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving again? Man, it's half-naked women strutting around on stage.
But you have fully naked, you have completely naked women, probably 5 minutes away if you have a dial-up connection.
Well, so tease me a little bit. Give me Prime, then I'll go to the fully nude.
See, you're not a man. Men don't, see, this is, women think that men want to be teased, and men don't want to be teased. You know? It's like your dog. When you tease your dog with a steak, your dog just wants the goddamn steak. He doesn't want to be teased with it. You tease an animal, the animal's just irritated. It just wants the food.
Well, that's true. I mean, but at the same time, it's, pop in your personal little movie from your collection or whatever that you want to watch if you're really looking. But, I mean,
but
compared,
see, then it's compared to point B and you've solved the problem.
Compared to what else is on, why not watch that?
Yeah, but even compared to what else is on, you flip over to HBO, you got the full-on nudity and sex over there. Or the cable porn, anyway. You go to, like, Showtime. Peter, you watch Showtime, like, after 12:30 a.m., the movie always involves one woman having to give another woman a sponge bath.
Really? I got to stay up. But, hey, guess what? This is going to blow your mind. I fired up the TiVo this weekend.
I'm
TiVo-tastic now. I'm TiVo-rific.
Is it everything I promised and more?
It's way more, and it's frighteningly more. It I'll be sitting there in the room, and the TV will be off, and suddenly it starts whirring, and it comes on, and it's doing things, like, of its own volition.
Yeah, that little red light pops on, and the TiVo is thinking
and it's
for
like,
you.
You ask it to do one or two shows, suddenly it begins to try to think for you and anticipate what you might like.
No, the TiVo is like the first generation of artificial intelligence. This is what eventually leads to the robot that serves you a martini.
But the thing that's going to happen, I feel like, on Thanksgiving, the doorbell's going to ring and, like, its friends are going to be coming over, you know? Or it's going to start to want to do me favors I really don't want it to do. It's like, if I tape, like, if I delete the children's shows, it will try to kill one of my children, you know?
That's when like the Terminator 2 thing happens, when the Cyberdyne systems, it starts to achieve self-awareness.
Yeah.
But, you know, the TiVo, you got it when, Saturday?
Fired it up on Saturday. I had it a couple days before that.
You got it about a week, so it's been functioning about a week. Have you started to be a missionary? Have you started to, like, virally spread the word where you're, like, talking to random people in the elevator? Dude, I got the TiVo.
Well, I'm talking to people, and I'm telling them, like, you know, what it does and all that, and they're like, whoa, that sounds cool. Do you think I need it? And I'm like, nah. I mean, generally, people really shouldn't watch that much TV.
Oh,
I think.
But see,
I don't know. I mean,
see,
on the one hand, yeah. I think there's a certain class of person that needs it. But for what it costs now, I think it's too much. It costs too damn much for the average Joe.
Oh, what are you saying?
I'm saying it's like, you know, buy a book. I don't know. Go to the library is what you really need to do.
Yeah, okay, thanks,
but it's like,
Mom.
When the thing comes down to like half the price that it costs now, then people should buy it. But now it's too much.
This Luddite moment brought to you by...
I'm sorry. What the hell? I watch, you know...
The thing about the TiVo is, and I know I'm sounding like a walk-in advertisement here, but the thing about the TiVo is... With the TiVo, I'm willing to admit that I probably watch as much TV as before or more. But
it's
a better class
of TV.
It is. It's targeted viewing.
Yeah.
Because with the TiVo, what you never do again once you get the TiVo, two things. A, it's worth it to screw the man because you never hear a commercial again. You never see a commercial on TV ever again. And B, you don't graze. You know?
See, but I think there's a whole kind of information that you absorb about the culture and what's going on in the world by watching ads. I mean, it's not like you have to, like, be hypnotized by them, but if you just absorb them and figure out, like, where they're going with this information and how they're presenting it, then you know stuff about what's going on.
Well, there are a few times, like, people will be talking about the, like, there's that Holiday Inn Express line of commercials where they had Kiss in one of those, and, like, I had to actually go looking for the commercial. I had to, like, I had to tell the TiVo to, like, and I have the thumbs down on all the sitcoms, so it'll never tape like King of Queens.
I haven't figured out how to work the thumbs buttons yet.
Now, here's the secret with the thumbs buttons. Anybody who has a TiVo, the secret to thumbs up, thumbs down, don't do it to shows. You got to do it to genres.
Mm.
You give thumbs up, thumbs down to genres of television, not to individual shows. Because it's like I gave The Shield thumbs up, and then suddenly it's like I'm getting NYPD Blue. And
oh, yeah, screw that.
All this crap I don't want. So you give thumbs up, thumbs down to genres. You give thumbs up to History's Mysteries, thumbs down to Homicide, even though you may watch it.
Yeah.
What you got to do. So,
yeah.
Like, you give thumbs up to The Sopranos, it's a crapshoot, because you're going to get, you know, you'll get 6 feet under, but then you're also going to get, like, I don't know, you're going to get the...
Policewoman.
Yeah, it's just some crap that you don't even want. Hey, speaking of The Sopranos, though,
yeah.
Matt, was that the best intervention ever on Sunday?
Yeah. You knew it was going to end badly for Chris.
Dude, that was, and my girlfriend and I very rarely talk to the television because I kind of equate that with being sort of trashy.
Yeah.
But when they open the scene in Tony's kitchen, he comes home and Adriana is talking to Carmela and she's got the black eye and Lara just, good for you, you know, because we just knew it was going to be a beatdown.
Yeah. Poor Chrissy. Did you stick around after that show to watch the season finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I taped it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Dude, the last 2 minutes is the funniest 2 minutes of TV in 2002.
Well, Curb Your Enthusiasm is like, it's like porn. I have to wait until she's out of the room to watch it because my girlfriend actively hates that show. Which is strange because she's a big Woody Allen fan and it's very similar comedy.
Yeah.
But it's like she hates it. I think she just hates Larry David.
Well,
and so I got to wait till she goes to bed and I'm like looking up the stairs to see if the bedroom light's off and I'm like, pop it, you know. So,
yeah, well, you know, my special lady says she doesn't like it, but then she sticks around to watch it and she's laughing too.
Yeah, so I still got to watch it sitting there on the TiVo. But the question I have about The Sopranos is now that Christopher, Tony knows that he's like a spouse beater basically and he's a junkie. You got to wonder if he's blown his shot at leading the family now.
Chrissy?
Yeah.
You know, once he cleans up, I think he gets welcomed back. I mean, you know, I think Tony believes in redemption of a sort.
Mm.
And they're all scumbags anyway. It's a certain amount of beating the crap out of your girlfriend. I mean, and also being high at the time kind of is a pass.
Yeah, it's a relativistic sort of scumbag.
The big question mark people have now is over Paulie, whether he's going to flip over to the New York
game. He's going to turn or not.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I think at the last moment he doesn't.
Yeah, he's such a great character.
Yeah. No, because if he flipped, then we'd have to he'd be killed, and then we'd lose him. So.
Hey, you know, we also should talk about the Osbournes. I've got a big Osbournes piece coming up on Sunday.
Excellent. What's the deal?
Well, I saw the first couple episodes of the new season.
And is it good?
It's really good. It's really good.
Well, because you figure by now they've honed, they know what the show's about. They know the strong points.
Well, it's just very, you know, I mean, and I think also the fact that you've got the illness this year, I mean, and it's grounded in a whole depth of feeling that last year wasn't.
Now, do they cover that, like, in the first few episodes? Do they bring up Sharon Osbourne having cancer?
Second episode comes up, yeah.
Excellent. I'm predicting, when does it come out?
It starts on Tuesday.
Tomorrow. Is it Tuesday? I'm making this prediction right now that the season two premiere of The Osbournes will break every existing cable record.
Yeah, I think you're right. And plus also they cranked up the hype machine to such a degree.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just you can't leave the house. Yeah, I mean, it's like they're skywriting about it, like over Southeast. You just can't even, you can't get away from it. So that's coming up. Piece on The Osbournes coming up Sunday.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Peter Ames Carlin, always a pleasure.
Hey.
All right. What the hell is that? That's like a non-response.
I don't know. What was like? I was going to say something after. I was going to say, like, hey, my pleasure. Or, hey, back at you. Yeah, or, hey, you know, tell it to the judge, you simp.
That's just sort of like when your girlfriend says, I love you, and you go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. All right. In just a moment, we'll bring in Therese, who is here. Who's the first in a long line of contenders for the Christina throne. Let's see. And
the
more
throne,
on the
line.
Well, in the bathroom sense. Later on, we got Likas, about 25 minutes from now. Phil Hendry, 7. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back in a few. Don't go anywhere. Tom Tuck and Eddie KFTK.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, and now here's Rick with your traffic.
All right, here's... Oh, wait, no, is she actually here now?
I really am.
Oh, she's here this time.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt your vacation.
I was... I was escorting our wakeboarding girl, Emily, out of the station, and I just...
I would have done that for you. She was cute.
She was cute.
Man,
she was nice,
wait,
too. 18.
Man. Well, she looked... And she looks... I mean, no offense, she looks a lot better than the picture, because Matt just showed me a picture of her, and the picture's cute, but in person, she's a lot cuter.
She is a cute
girl. She had to get a different... But you had to shit on me start taking those pictures.
Dude, she's 18. Oh, you're a dirty old man. Stay over there.
I'm only a decade
and a year older than her.
I have to go kill myself. Here's
she was born in 84.
Christina with the traffic.
An accident report.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955. Oh, I want to give props to my man Uncle Steve with this month's batch of nude female postcards. I got this guy. I don't know if you ever... You heard about this guy, Steve, just everywhere he goes. I have postcards with nude women on them from, like, every corner of the earth, from all 7 continents. So, right there. So we've got New York, we've got World Trade Center, and then we've got nude woman in front of a fire hydrant. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of toast bread that Papa likes. All right. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Still coming up before the end of the show. We got Rob from the House of Rick with the comprehensive Rick Emerson apology list for the week of November, 19th? Yeah, something like that. 2002. All right. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show now the lovely Therese, who joins us. Now, Therese, you called. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Boy, you're beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
Somebody told you that recently?
Not recently, but thank you for that.
Yeah, you know.
I thought it, but I didn't say it to her.
No, it's because I'm a sensitive guy. See, a lot of women, they don't see the true sensitive nature of the Rick, Therese, but I can tell that
how
you see the real me.
How is objectifying her physically being sensitive?
Okay. What?
Oh. I'm trying to work my magic over here.
My fault.
All
he's
right,
a real DJ.
All right, shut up. Yeah, shut your head. All right, so Therese, you called us earlier about Christina's job.
Yeah.
I can say, you're the first applicant, by the way, because even Jolie wasn't that fast. Jolie was here like 150, and so she was still number two in line, so...
Well, I jumped out of the shower to call.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That just doesn't happen nearly enough in my life.
Really,
it's going the extra mile already.
Yeah.
Nose to the grindstone, shoulder to the wheel, the other thing to the deal that it's next to. So, I can already tell that you're too qualified just looking at you. You just look confident.
Well, thank you.
So what did you do before you moved to Beaverton?
I know, Beaverton. I lived in Los Angeles for 15 years.
Right.
I worked in television. One of the things I did was I was a casting director, and the last project I worked on was the first season of The Larry Sanders Show.
Now out on DVD, by the way.
Yes, and That was so stressful, I had to get out of casting.
So you're already used to stress. You're used to waking up every morning and just going, why have I chosen this career?
Exactly. The entertainment industry is just...
Yet you hear the siren song calling you back.
I do.
Just when you were out, they pulled you back in.
But I actually think, you know, we were discussing in the other room that I might be a little too qualified.
Well, now, what is, I mean, did you have to go to school or something to be a casting agent?
No. I learned the hard way. I learned school hard knocks. I was trained by my bosses, who, one of them is now the vice president of casting at NBC.
What the hell are you doing here? Shouldn't you, and in Beaverton, of all places.
I'm practically on a plane going back.
I mean, I'm all for getting out of L.A., but Beaverton, that's
I used to listen to you in Los Angeles.
It's like moving to Akron, really?
Am I one of the people that listened to you?
Probably. We had a bunch of listeners in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So you may have been one of them.
Yeah,
so you were listening back in the day.
Yeah, back in the old days.
So did you move to Beaverton just to be near me? You can tell me.
I'm stalking you.
That's what I like to hear. I don't have enough stalkers. All the stalkers, like Christina gets the stalkers, Tim gets stalkers. All I get is like fat guys named Bob in Montreal, you know, who are gay and who, like, you know, they all want to take me out for Szechuan or something. So that's nothing good. So now are you single?
I am.
Okay, so you don't. So really, if we wanted to monopolize your whole time, your whole life.
I have no children. I don't even have pets, but I do have houseplants that
That's okay. That's fine. See, we wouldn't even have to go to the trouble of breaking up her marriage.
No, that's almost, you know, takes away like half of our fun.
Yeah, what would be the odds? And by the way, I don't really know that I'm with this, you looking like Sandra Bullock.
I wasn't sure what to say.
No.
I don't know. Who do I look like?
Can I ask how tall you are?
I'm 5'4", between 5'4 and 5'5".
Okay, 5'4", wearing a pink sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sweater that's open?
It's a sweater.
With
a little bustier thing.
I was just
going to
say, did you actually wear a bustier to the interview? Come on, man. Why
I did it
that's
for
trying
you.
To get the job
I'm
right there.
I'm saying, man, you want to talk about knowing exactly. They had to put this. They don't teach this at the Harvard Business School. These are things you got to learn on the street.
That's right. No MBA here.
No, short black hair, very attractive. But I would say that you look a lot like. What is that chick's name from.
Actually, facially, if you look at her, she looks an awful lot like Kim Cattrall.
I do.
Hey, I could see that, but with a
complete,
different hair color.
Completely different hair. I mean, because, you know,
with short
blonde
hair. I can see that.
Her face looks a lot like Kim Cattrall.
I was going to say you kind of look like that chick from Malcolm in the Middle. Who's the mom on Malcolm? Jane Karazimachek or Razzmatazz?
Let me correct you because I wasn't casting Jane
Jane Swizzlestick or Jane Sleestack or whatever the hell
Jane
her name is.
Jane Kazimierz.
Yeah, you kind of look like Jane Kazimierz. That's who I see looking as facially.
Her husband and I worked together on a project.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, I'm a big fan. Let's say now. I mean, you can't. You have to be making more on unemployment than they would pay.
I think actually.
Trey's actually down here wondering if she sells.
Yeah, well, she sold me already. I'm sold. I'm sold.
I'm
on Therese.
I'm buying two. Can I get a whole schedule, please?
Yes. So.
I the sales thing just doesn't appeal to me.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. So, see, you're not going to be stolen by the other side of the building.
No.
That's the thing. And they tried to steal Christina, and I know about that, too. And to her credit, she turned them down. But the sales department tried to steal Christina. And they also tried this, and I know. And Trey's giving me the evil eye.
He really is. He's standing next to me.
All right. We'll come back here in a moment. We'll talk a bit more to Therese. We've got Rob Nassarick at the comprehensive Rick Emerson apology list for the week of November 19, 2002. About 15 minutes away from the Likas. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk, Connecticut. Okay, stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, after reviewing your references and seeing your headshot, well, Therese, you're too, you've got too much.
I know.
You've got too much skill.
I realized that when I heard Christine being nice to people on the phone.
Yeah, so what can I pay to just kind of sit around and just look pretty?
I don't know. That's negotiable, though.
Excellent. We can negotiate after the show. Well, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you. That was really nice.
Let's go to the House of Rick. It's Rob with this week's comprehensive Rick Emerson apology list.
Hey, Rick. With your sour mood this week, I have a ream of paper. Listen to that. See that right there?
Let's roll it, baby.
I'm going to set that aside, and we're just going to talk about two main things.
All right.
You making Matt open his mouth, the poor guy. And you really need to come to acceptance, Rick, about Christina leaving. Just think, you have Sarah Dillon.
Yeah, no, I think Therese has completely washed that girl right out of my right out of my hair.
So just hopefully next week you won't be as sour and as spiteful and bitter.
I'm not sour, and I am not bitter. I'm edgy. I'm multifaceted. I'm layered. A guy can't have layers?
Well, they're like an ogre. Onions have layers, and they stink.
Yeah, all right. There you go. There's Rob at the House of Rick. We want to thank Ice Cube, Billy Preston, Ringo Starr, the Oregonians, Peter Carlin, Jolie from the front desk, of course, Trey from sales, who passed by me in the hallway and said, I'm going to make Matt my bitch on Monday. We'll find out what that's all about. We want to thank Emily Copeland, Therese again. Thank you for coming in, Rob, from the House of Rick and all that. The Rick Emerson Show is produced by Christina Carlson for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, along with Matt Peterson, executive producer, and Tim Riley, who is in the newsroom there. So, are we going at 56 with it? 56, 52? All right. So, Christina is going to be, you have got 2 weeks that you're going to be with us here, right?
2 weeks.
All right, so on Monday we will continue the search. We haven't even brought Sarah in to ask her about this yet.
We haven't even talked to her about it.
I think we should troll the waters for more Teresa's. I'm a big fan of that.
Sisters, they're all gorgeous.
Oh, see, that's what we could have a tandem, a team of people who produce. Oh, this is... You're going to leave tomorrow. All right. We will be back on Monday at noon for the KOTK New News Hour. Like us up next, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As always, do not let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. We'll see you Monday. And as they say in radio, this one is for my girlfriend, Lara. Happy birthday. We'll see you all on Monday.